The use of the senses is probably one of the most enjoyable things that we have as part of our human life. Certain things in life that each of us appreciate or remember even as children that we enjoyed. In making this, I was writing this about a week ago and then last night went for a walk, and I was going to talk about smelling honeysuckle when you go for a walk, and we went for a walk before sundown last night and walked by these big bushes of honeysuckle, and you could just smell that honeysuckle. It's one of the enjoyable things that as a youth, I remember taking the honeysuckle and you break the ends of it and pull the little stem through and lick off the little sap that's inside. You realize why the hummingbirds like that kind of thing. But it's something that we passed along. We showed it to our kids, and my two older ones never really did anything with it or took a liking to it, but my youngest likes honeysuckle and enjoys that. But walking by the smell of that, and it, of course, they're very fragrant flowers, similar like we had last week for services. The aroma of those flowers really come out. Or maybe it's the smell of the ocean. As you get closer and closer to the coastline, you begin to smell the ocean and the salty air. For some, they don't like that smell or the smell of fish mingled in the air. For others, some men here are going deep sea fishing tomorrow, that smell is one that you're hoping to have, is the smell of fish in the air. But the smell of the ocean, and that's a very enjoyable smell, especially the salty air, and you start smelling that and hearing it. Now, there's multiple senses that are enjoyed when going to the ocean. Maybe it's the feel of a hot bath or a hot shower, especially when your body's aching and you can feel that heat go into the muscles. We're listening to birds chirp early in the morning. We sleep with our window open most of the year. But early in the morning, even before the sun comes up, when it just starts to turn light, there's birds that just start chirping and making all of these different noises outside our bedroom window. As soon as the sun pops up, it seems like they're silent, they're done for the day, or at least they moved on. But they are outside our window and listening to them chirp, and of course, you know, it's almost daylight. Listening to them and enjoying the sounds. Or maybe it's tasting things like wine and cheese and chocolates like we had last week. Something that's very enjoyable, enjoying tasting and enjoying the senses of being able to taste. Our senses allow us to take in and enjoy things more. Use of the senses helps us to understand things better. We can understand if something is hot or cold by use of the senses. I found out at a very early age that you don't always have to touch things to find out if they're hot or cold. And I've mentioned this before, putting my hand on a stove, that's hot. I learned that once, and the lesson lasted the whole rest of my life. I never put my hand on a hot stove again. But we can sense hot and cold. We can sense smooth or rough. Several have mentioned me looking a little rough today as I grew a little stubble over the week. Just trying it out for the day. But the feeling if something is smooth or rough, or whether something is loud or quiet, it helps us, it gives us understanding, it allows us to adjust. Or is there something that we want to smell, or is there something that is repulsive and we don't want to smell? Sometimes we can take our senses for granted. We look at the story of Helen Keller, who became blind and deaf, to not have sight and to not be able to hear. And again, when you read her story and how she overcame many obstacles, to wonder what it would be like to not have certain senses, or, like her, multiple senses that are lost. There was a YouTube video that was going around on Facebook, and I happened to watch this particular video. It was an older man who was putting on glasses to correct his vision for color blindness. And he had been colorblind his entire life, and his family had gotten these glasses that actually correct and allow him to see color the way that we see color. So they're sitting outside, and they had balloons all around him, all these colorful balloons and all these things in the yard. They wanted him to be outside. And he put the glasses on and took them off immediately. And tears began to run down his cheeks. He put them back on again and, of course, began to cry. He could see what he had been missing his entire life. He didn't know what the world looked like except through his own eyes. And when he put on these glasses, it corrected his vision, and he was able to see something that he hadn't seen before. And, of course, it made a very big impact on him. We've also seen similar videos with a small child. I've seen one on Facebook that had a small child who had no hearing, and they had put a little hearing aid in his ear. He wasn't even the age of talking yet. And they put this hearing aid in his ear, and his mom started talking to him, and his eyes got great big, and he had never heard a voice before. And of course, with the hearing aid, they were able to increase the hearing where he could hear. It's something unique because he was missing it. And when it added a new dimension, new understanding, and of course made things not only enjoyable, but now understandable. Okay, now when mom's mouth is moving, I can hear things. Where before he probably wondered, why do they just open, and kids may wonder that even today, why does our parents' mouths just keep moving, but no sound coming out. But just like this individual, now the small child, could hear what he had been missing. And they didn't even know. They didn't know they were missing that. The older gentleman with the glasses was probably in his 60s or 70s and had gone most of his life without knowing what he was missing, without knowing what it was like to see color. Most of the world is in the same position where they don't know. And they do not understand what is missing. They have no clue that it's even missing at all because they haven't experienced it before. Many have asked the questions, and teens have done this as they've rode with us on trips and long trips up to Winter Family Weekend and things like that. The would you rather? Would you rather lose your sense of smell or lose your sense of sight? Would you rather have only hands or have only feet? And, of course, the teens get into, would you rather have 4 feet or 4 hands? All kinds of odd things. Would you rather lose your hearing or lose your eyesight? Now, if we had to choose, that would be a hard choice between the senses, what we would be willing to give up if we had to lose something. Would we be really willing to go through life deaf or blind? Well, hopefully we'd never have to do either. We value all of our senses. And we value the need for all 5 senses. We see that there's a purpose for it. I want to read from the 5 senses. This is by Dr. William K. Pediopoulos. He says, senses are physiological capacities of organisms that provide data for perception. He said, they're capacities that provide data for perception. Things that allow information to come into the mind that we can then process and understand things. I want you to remember that as we go forward, because the description that he gives of what a sense is important and will tie in with something as we move forward and as we look at it. Our senses are what provide data or proof or evidence that something is the way it is. A smell or a sense of some kind, it is proof or data that we can process, and we say, I know this is this because of the information that I have from the senses. He says, the senses and their operation, classification, and theory are overlapping topics studied by a variety of fields, most notably neuroscience, cognitive psychology, or cognitive science, and philosophy of perception. The nervous system has a specific sensory system or organ dedicated to each sense. Humans have a multitude of senses: sight, hearing, which is the audioception, taste, smell, or the olfactory system, touch, and he says these are the traditionally recognized 5 senses: sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. While the ability to detect other stimuli beyond those are governed by traditional senses that exist, including temperature or thermoception, being able to tell the difference in temperatures, kinesthetic sense, pain, balance, and various internal stimuli. He says the different chemoreceptors for detecting salt and carbon in the blood, for instance, or the concentrations of those in the blood. We have things within that sense what is in the blood and how to adjust for it. He said a number of these can be safely classified as separate senses in and of themselves because they have a specific purpose. He says what constitutes a sense is a matter of some debate, leading to difficulties in defining exactly what a sense is. The senses are frequently divided into two categories: extraceptive, E-X-T-E-R, exteroceptive, and interoceptive. Exteroceptive senses are the senses that perceive the body's own position, motion, and state, known as proprioceptive senses. External senses include the traditional five: sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste, as well as thermoception, which is the temperature, and possibly magnetoception, which gives us a sense of direction. And sometimes individuals have a better sense of direction than others. I did this in Bakersfield, asked people to point to north, and we had a few different directions of which is north. We've done that at summer camp when we talk about compass checks and ask our campers which direction is north, and you get all different directions. People have a different sense of direction. Now, my mom always had a different sense of direction than several of us as kids growing up. And she would say, well, you know, you need to go over and so-and-so. We're like, you mean over there? No, it's over there. And we argued about north one day, and we went out and looked at where the sun was setting, and she realized, oh, I'm all turned around. Sense of direction was different. He says that the other senses include pain, equilibrium, or balance. And that is a sense, and our body senses the equilibrium and balances us out, allows us to be able to function. The sense and position of movements of one's body parts to be able to function. Interoceptive senses are senses that perceive sensations in the internal organs. There's a lot of senses going on within that keep us working as a human body. Again, all of this is by God's design and God's creation. When we look at all of these different factors, it didn't come from primordial slime that decided to come out of the water and grow and develop and decided on its own to develop senses. Science and medicine have discovered these two particular areas, the areas where senses come from, the basic five and then those with inside the body. But if we note, these are all physical senses. These are senses that deal with physical ailments, whether it be smell, touch, hearing. It all has to do with the body and the internal sensors or sensations that help the body to function properly. It's all physical. Yet according to the definition of a sense, a psychological capacity of organisms that provide data for perception. There's another sense that doesn't come from these areas. It's one that science can't explain. Science has tried to explain it. In fact, it doesn't come naturally to an individual, and something that we just can't decide to develop. It's a sense in the ability of a person to be able to perceive, to know, and to understand. Just as our physical senses allow us to understand physical things, there is a spiritual sense that allows us to understand spiritual things. Hebrews 11 talks about faith. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance. It's something real. It's something tangible of things hoped for, and it's evidence. It's proof. It's a conviction. It's data that you have processed and realized this is something real. It's evidence of things not seen. Faith isn't something that's physical. It's something that's mental and spiritual. And true faith only comes from God, because God is the one who provides that and reveals those type of things. It's the addition of something to human beings that gives them perception, gives them a different understanding of a world or an environment that they may not have known of, but it also provides them a transformation. it begins a change within them, not just giving them information or data, but it provides them something that begins to change exactly who they are and what they will become. Now, animals have the use of five senses. We look at the instinct of animals. Animals have certain instincts, and they say, especially with wild animals, you can't bring them in because they have a natural instinct. And people have raised wild animals and said, oh, I've had this one since it was a little baby. It would never turn on me. And some of these animals have turned on their owners, hurt them, or even killed them in some sense, some circumstances. We've seen that in the news before, where animals, wild animals, have turned on their owners because they have an instinct in them. They have a natural instinct that is born, that they're born with. It's created within them. But man was created different. Now, man does have certain instinctual things within a human mind, but man was created different. And there's very few things that we do by instinct, but whether we develop and we grow as time goes along. We see that very plain difference when animals are born. If you've ever seen a fowl being born, a horse, or watching a calf being born, they're born, the mother begins to clean them, sometimes even before the mother can clean them. They're up on their feet, they're staggering around, and within an hour, they're hopping and jumping around and running. A human baby will lay there for months and months and cry when they're hungry or cry when they need to be changed. But there's not this ability or instinct to, oh, I'm going to get up and walk around. I'm going to go find my food. They develop over time, and human beings are quite different than the creation we see around us. But there's a different element that man has that no other animal or no other creature has. Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. The word spirit is properly translated wind or breath. There's a wind in man or a breath in man. But it says the Almighty gives him understanding. It's more than just air. It is something that is given by God. And it's something that he says then the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. There's a spirit in man, and then God adds understanding. Spirit in every human being separates them from the animals. And of course, by God's intervention or by God's blessing us with the abilities that he has. And he told us in Genesis that man would have dominion over all the animals. He would have this dominion, that they would have understanding. But that understanding is limited. The understanding that comes by this spirit in man is limited. It's limited to physical things. There's something missing even with the spirit in man that causes us to be separate from the animals, that gives us dominion over the animals, that there's something still that we do not have. Something missing if we are to perceive and see and understand the things of God. That is a totally different realm beyond the spirit in man to be able to comprehend. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 beginning in verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Sadly, I've heard individuals, even at the Feast of Tabernacles, teach, we have no idea what God has prepared for us. And you know, we read this and it says, it hasn't even entered our hearts, so we have no idea. If we stop there, it might seem like that's the case. You know, that it hasn't even entered into the heart of man. If we don't have what God gives to us to open up that understanding, that is the case. That it hasn't entered into the heart of an individual. But verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Yes, a physical human being without the Spirit of God cannot understand what God has prepared, cannot understand spiritual things. But now we're talking about a different element. We're talking about a different spirit than the spirit of man. We're talking about a spirit and a sense that opens up data and information, and even, as I mentioned, transformation, the change of an individual. It's not the spirit in man, but this is the spirit of God. We see here something that's different that allows us to have insight, allows us to have a depth where it says it searches the deep things of God, to be able to search deep spiritual things that was not there before. Something that we go beyond the physical, and as we have our magazine Discern, it allows us to discern spiritual things. The theme of camp this year is vision, seeing clearly in a clouded world. I think if you watch the In Accord, we were going to have that as we began, but the In Accord talks about that theme that we're going to have for camp this year. Vision, seeing clearly in a clouded world. Having vision and being able to see things clearly in a world that you can't see things in. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. The ability to have a sense, to be able to see things clearly, to be able to see things at all that we couldn't see before. To be able to understand things that we couldn't understand before. To hear things that we couldn't hear before by the use of God's Spirit. We don't naturally have that. It's not in man. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. He said, man doesn't know how to walk. Man doesn't know what direction to take. But yet with the Spirit of God, he guides us. He gives us direction. God is telling us there's a spirit that will lead us, guide us, and direct us. Not just provide data, but it is a guide, it is a lead, and it's something, again, that changes us. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? He said, if you can understand physical things as a human being, that's because of the spirit that's in you. We have intellect, we have art, we have literature, we have all these things that man is able to use and able to comprehend and able to grow from because of the spirit that's in him. It's a spirit that's already there. Every human being has it and allows us to have compassion, allows us to have musical abilities or talents. And it's an element or a sense that is not visible. Science has looked at it, and science cannot detect the spirit in man through physical means or being able to detect it, but they know it's there. They can't explain it. They don't know why man is different from the animals. They look at the sizes of human brains compared to other species, and they say, well, you know, the closest one is the dolphin. And, you know, our brains are almost the same size as a dolphin, and dolphins are very, very smart. And, you know, maybe dolphins are as smart as we are. You don't see dolphins ruling the world. I haven't. You rarely see them even sometimes in the ocean. They're not the same, even though the size of the brain. So they look at elephants, and elephants have much larger brains, but even less intelligence or less action or activity taking place than a dolphin. And then they look at monkeys and they say, well, this is really close because of the look-alike. You know, we look like monkeys. If you have arms and legs and a head, there's a similarity between monkeys. But they look at monkeys and say, well, there's where it's at. We were like monkeys, and we decided to change and become something different. But even monkeys don't have the brain activity and the ability to do what human beings have done. It's rejecting God, who said man's going to rule over the animals. He's going to have dominion over all the earth. God explained to us why and how that happens, and Job just explained it. There is a spirit in man. There's something in man that allows him to be able to function in the capacity that we do. We don't see monkeys building buildings today, at least not what we would consider real monkeys. Now, building buildings today, or driving cars, or having all these different things that mankind does. But we also see with that Spirit in man, there's the addition of God's Holy Spirit. That is a total difference. When we look at the Spirit in man, we look at something that, yes, it accelerates man. It gives him data. It gives him input. It gives him a perception of the world that is much different than what the animals could ever have. But when you add in the element of God's Holy Spirit, it takes you into a spiritual realm and allows us to understand spiritual things as never seen or understood before. It says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We can't know the things of God. We have a world who thinks they worship God in the right way. They think they worship, and we have all different kinds of religions who worship in a different way. But he said, we can't know the things of God unless you have the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. He said, I'm not talking about that spirit in man or that physical spirit, the one everyone already has, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know. To know, not just to be able, oh yeah, we might be able to comprehend, but he said that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We can know it, we can understand, and our minds can be open to it, but only into a spiritual realm by the Spirit of God that's given to us. But it says that we might know. We can know what's ahead. We can know what God is preparing. To know is to have faith, to have conviction, to have truth, and to be able to understand it and put it together. We don't know otherwise and can't sense these things on our own. And we can't decide on our own, well, since I have the Spirit in man, and since I have intellect and ability and all these talents, if I want to know the spiritual things, I can decide for myself I want to know spiritual things. And mankind has thought that, and we see the ego of individuals who have come up with all kinds of ideas, reincarnation, going to heaven, all the different ideas that man has created of, oh, this is what God has prepared for us, thinking that they understand the things of God. But we don't just decide, well, I want to know. God has to give us that spirit. Verse 13, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. We don't teach what man has come up with, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you're not spiritual, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't compare spiritual things with spiritual. There's a different realm that opens up with the Spirit of God. It gives us a different perspective of life. Just as an individual who had been colorblind had a whole different perspective when he put the glasses on and realized, oh, wow, I never knew. I didn't know it was there. It was right in front of me, and I didn't see it for what it was. Or a child who hasn't heard before. Or Helen Keller, who never gained those things after she had lost her sight and lost the ability to hear. She never gained those things, but she learned how to function and how to understand those things. When we have that additional gift and that additional element added, it takes us to a different perspective. And again, it begins to form in our mind the process of conversion. We change from coming out of the world, having ideas of, well, this is what I was always taught, or when we die, we go up and we float around in the clouds. Because if we're going to picture heaven, we picture what's above us? Well, clouds. When we go to heaven, we must float around clouds and have wings on our backs. Or maybe it's reincarnation. Or even, as most people in the world, when they lose a loved one, I don't know where they are. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going to take place, or I don't know if I'll ever see them again. They don't know. And again, the world is unknowing about things around them. They have ideas, they have perceptions, but they don't have that spirit to open up that understanding. But God's Spirit gives us hope. And in fact, he says in 1 Thessalonians, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. He said, when you have understanding, it gives you hope. It opens up the understanding of, oh, I don't have to fear that I'll never see them again. God said I will. He said there's a resurrection. I can trust in what God says because he's opened up that knowledge to me and he's revealed it to me. We have hope in that situation because we use the Spirit that God has given to us, and it is a spiritual sense that allows us to receive information and have a different perception than being lost without knowledge. It gives us what is described by science as receptors that receive data for perception. Being able to receive information, being able to receive a different outlook of things, being able to see things in a different way, as putting on glasses and seeing something for the first time. Verse 14, it says, but the natural man as we are, as human beings, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. It's when God opens up our minds and we have received the Spirit of God. Many over the years, and this would be my 46th year in the church, over the years watching individuals who come in, their minds are open, they're learning, they're on fire, and they said, I took it to my family, but my family thinks I'm in a sect now, my family thinks I'm a kook, that nobody believes that, that you believe something different than everybody else believes, you're wrong. They can read, they said, I've showed them in the Bible, and they read it, but they can't understand it. They don't see what I see. And that is because the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They are discerned by a spirit that is given to us, and it joins with our spirit. Something that is needed to be able to spiritually discern. An element that man doesn't have, and it's one that man can't just decide, I want it. I want to have that. Let's go to John chapter 6 and verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44. Individuals over time have desired to have God's Holy Spirit. We even saw him with Simon Magus. He wanted to buy the ability to give God's Holy Spirit. They have wanted it. They've wanted spiritual discernment. And John 6:44 says, no one can come to me, to Jesus Christ, unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. Said you can't come to understand what Jesus Christ was teaching. You can't come to him at all unless the Father draws him. What does it mean to be drawn by God? Well, we look at that and we think of the calling, and that is true. But this particular word means to drag or to take for oneself. Some individuals, it's interesting watching how God calls. He'll open up a calling, and some individuals, just like the parable of the sower, will reject it straight out. Others, yeah, that's interesting, and it looks like it's true, but I've got all these other things I want to do. And sometimes it begins to eat on them where they want to learn a little bit more. And as they do, it's almost like God says, okay, I'm going to grab you and pull you in. I'm going to drag you along and lead you until you see what is available. But to draw means to drag or to take for oneself. It means to be preferred or to be chosen. So he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me prefers him, chooses him, picks him out for a particular purpose and a reason, and that is when we can begin to have that relationship and begin to gain that understanding. To be drawn. The choice isn't ours, the choice is God's. So to be called and be given understanding is a miracle. It's not something we can do on our own, it's not something that we have, but when God gives it to us, it's like more than just a physical pair of glasses that changes a color. It opens up a spiritual realm of understanding that is not there. And too often it's taken for granted that individuals, oh yeah, well I've known that, I've heard that, and not realize that information is precious and that God has given us that, and it opens up a dimension that we wouldn't have otherwise. A person can desire it, they can want it, but they cannot have it unless God chooses them. So God's calling and his choosing different individuals at different times and different ages is according to his purpose. It's part of his plan. We should be enormously grateful for the calling that God has given to us at the end of the age, at the end of the time allotted to man, and before the return of Jesus Christ, for God to call us, whether he had to drag us or whether he preferred us and chose us, but he made that available and Jesus Christ began to work with us. And it is something that we should appreciate and not take for granted. Going down to verse 65, John chapter 6 and verse 65. He said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." Not just drawn, but it has to be granted. It is something that is given. It's a gift. It has to be granted to you. The word literally means offered or delivered. It's offered to you. It is a gift. It's something that is given. He said you can't come to him unless God offers it to you. Verse 66, "From that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." I've often wondered, looking at this, if he said, okay, nobody can come to me unless it is given to him by the Father. And it said people walked away. From that point on, some of his disciples went back and didn't walk with him anymore. You wonder why. Did they think, well, it sounds like it's going to be too hard, or maybe it sounds too difficult? Or was it that, well, if you're saying I can't have it unless somebody gives it to me, I already have what I need. And we even see that attitude today. I don't need to submit to anyone. I don't need somebody to give it to me. I have everything I need. Don't tell me I need to be baptized. Don't tell me I need to have God's Holy Spirit. I've got everything I need. You wonder what was going through these particular disciples' minds. But he said they went back and didn't walk with him anymore. So Christ asked the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Notice their answer. He says, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He said, there is nowhere else to go. Once your mind is open and you understand spiritual things, is nowhere else to find the answers. There's nowhere else to find those spiritual things. 69, he says also, "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, not only is there nowhere else to go, but we believe, we know. You don't leave. There is nowhere else to go. There's a discernment and a conviction that comes with that gift when it is accepted and when it is used. And God says he calls each one in his own order. There's a time that God is working with and calling individuals. There's a time that he is giving them that spirit. And when we become those first fruits, he calls an individual, he leads them by the spirit and changes the mind and the thinking of an individual. It's not just giving data for information or giving somebody the ability to perceive. He's giving them something so their mind is open and changed and they begin to physically and mentally change and become something different. Gives them the perception that they didn't have before. They can understand spiritual things in a different dimension than that of the human senses. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. This is shortly after the parable of the sower, talking about how individuals are called and how they respond to receiving the word of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, it says, "The disciples came to him and said, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know.'" He said, it's been given, it's been offered, as we read earlier in John. "It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. He said, you have been offered an understanding and a window into truth and knowledge that is not offered to the rest of the world. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and it will be, and he will have abundance. But to whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. Hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. It's like the man who was colorblind. Seeing, he could see, but he didn't understand. He couldn't see what was there. He could see only that perception. And he had that perception of life from the beginning. And you wonder, did he see different shades of gray and black and white? But when his eyes were opened, he saw a different thing than what he had known his entire life. He says, seeing, they do not see. There's a reason why their eyes are not opened and why their ears are not opened. Verse 14, it says, in them was the prophecy of Isaiah, which is fulfilled. And it says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have grown closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. So the prophecy of Isaiah was being fulfilled. It wasn't just fulfilled in the New Testament church or in the book of Matthew here. It says the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, saying the world is going to be blinded. Their eyes are not going to be opened. But he was telling them, yours are, because of the prophecy that was given in Isaiah. People want to hear about prophecy, and of course we live in some pretty prophetic times. We have a lot of things happening around the world, in governments, in economies, in what is taking place in Korea and China and Russia, what's taking place in the Middle East. We want to hear about prophecy, but there's prophecies being fulfilled even in your relationship and in your calling right now, where God has given you something that he said was prophesied to happen. And it was prophesied to take place. It's being fulfilled in you and I. And again, it's a miracle that God has performed in our lives to give us a Holy Spirit to be able to open up a perception of life. It's something that is granted to us. He says in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He said, you've been blessed. And that's an understatement, just to say you're blessed to be able to understand and to see. It's beyond being blessed. It is something we could never repay, something we could never have on our own. It is a tremendous blessing. And he says, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see, did not see it, to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. He said, prophets and righteous men. It was a look at Judaism and what was taking place. They were keeping the Sabbath. They were keeping the holy days. They were keeping the Ten Commandments and even adding to those, as the Pharisees, adding to those commandments, making them very strict, trying to be righteous. And they wanted to see what we see. They did not see it, to hear what we hear. And they didn't hear it. They could not understand. They wanted to, but it was not given to them. God says, it has to be given. You have to be called, and your mind has to be opened, and you have to understand and realize how valuable that is. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Luke 10 and verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise. We think, well, the smarter we are, the easier it's going to be to understand biblical things, spiritual things. He said, you've hidden them from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seems good in your sight. He said, it was your decision and you're making this and it seems good in your sight to give it to those individuals who aren't wise and aren't noble and prudent. He said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and the Father, or who the Father is except for the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. It has to be revealed. It has to be given. And it's Jesus Christ who reveals the Father, and the Father who chooses or grants his Holy Spirit. Verse 23, then he returned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. He said, for I tell you that many prophets and kings, we see the difference in the Gospels here, in the harmony of the Gospels. I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see. Leaders of nations, governments, individuals who were kings, wanting to see and understand what has been given to you. And they have not seen it, to hear what you hear, and they have not heard it. It is a tremendous blessing to have the ability to see, to have a spiritual perception of things that the world does not have. And it's not that we take it and we say, well, I have something that makes me special. No, it is God that opened our minds and our eyes, and if we are using that spirit, we're going to see, oh, God doesn't say that he gave me that because I'm special. He says, I've called the weak and the base things. I've called things which are despised so that they can then turn around and confound the world that God is working through an individual like ourselves. But it's a tremendous blessing to be able to see, to be able to hear, to be able to understand. And we know where that comes from. We don't just decide for ourselves. We can't have an individual that comes on the scene and just begins to teach and people, oh, instantly they understand without the Spirit of God. That element has to be added. God's Spirit has to be there to reveal, to open up, to make manifest. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked his disciples, who am I? Who do people say that I am? So they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. They tried to make him, well, he's just like one of the other prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered him and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He said, human beings can't reveal to you that information. You can't know that, and you can't be convicted of that unless God gives it. And he said, my Father has revealed that to you. It doesn't come from men. It doesn't come from wanting something. It comes from God. Now God uses individuals to speak it, and individuals can hear and understand, but only when God opens their minds and only through the gift of his Holy Spirit leading an individual and then that Spirit being within an individual. It's beyond our natural senses to be able to comprehend spiritual things. Having the Spirit of God gives us an added sense and ability to be able to perceive things in a much different way. We don't look at life in the same way. And it should be that we, as the disciples who said, where do we go? Once we are convicted of that knowledge and that truth and God opens our minds, we realize, I don't want to go anywhere else. I can't let anything come between me and this knowledge and information and the relationship that I have with God the Father and Jesus Christ. There's nothing that should turn us away. if we have that conviction, because that is the only place that truth is. It's the only place that we can see and understand and be able to comprehend. We can't go through the Feast of Pentecost without looking at particular stories and things that took place. And I'm sure we're going to hear many scriptures similar to these over the next few weeks as we approach Pentecost. But where do we get that? Where do we get the help? And what is it that separates us from the world? Mr. Frank's letter, the member letter, and we do have a few copies of that for those who don't have internet on the back table. But his letter talks about what God has done and how we are so different from the world and what God is offering to us. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you." The Holy Spirit is called the Helper. It helps us. It does more than help us, but this is a description of God's Holy Spirit as the Helper. Now we come to a description of what the Spirit can do. Verse 8, it says, "When it comes, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And he explains, he said, "Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, and judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." But the Spirit of God does far more than that. Verse 12, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." There's a lot of things he said you're not quite ready for, or you're not going to be able to handle them if I tell you. And of course, we're still growing and learning and developing and seeing what God's Spirit can do. He says in verse 13, "However, when it..." As he begins to explain a few things more, "when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth." He said, this Spirit, this Helper, is going to guide you. It's going to give you guidance and direction. Now, we already saw in Jeremiah, it's not within man to direct his own steps, but God says, I'm opening up a spiritual realm, and I'm going to guide you through this physical world, but I'm also going to guide you into a world that you were not able to understand and see before. "Guide you in all truth, for it will not speak of its own authority, but what it hears, it will speak. And it will tell you things to come. It will reveal to us the knowledge and the truth that is offered to us and help us to be able to understand future things. It will glorify me, for it will take of what is mine and will declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that it will take of mine and will declare it to you." The Spirit of God is not just information. The Spirit of God doesn't just put on a pair of spiritual glasses and now we can understand Scripture. The Spirit of God is something that changes us. It's not just information, it transforms us. It's a transformation. It's something that mixes with the Spirit in man and begins to create something that is new. As Paul says, we become a new creation. We become something different. And it changes who we are. And it changes the relationship that we can have with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And it changes our perception of this physical life and the future. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in verse 8, Paul says, "So then, those that are in the flesh cannot please God." Physical human beings can't please God. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He is not his. Without that Spirit, a person that is not led by God or not being called by God, he said, you're none of his. Not a Christian. The Spirit is something that we have to have that relationship. Many times at counseling for baptism, I ask individuals, and I have over the years, why do you want to be baptized? Some immediately say, because I know I need my sins forgiven. Others say, I need God's Holy Spirit. Usually by the end of counseling, everybody agrees, I need that Spirit. I need both and understand the reasons for baptism. But we have to have that Spirit. Without it, he said, flesh cannot please God. We can't please Him without that Spirit, without that connection. A person will represent one who has that Spirit. They will begin to produce the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, and they will be an example of a Christian. They will be obedient, and that obedience will come through not as Pharisaical adding of things to appear righteous, but they'll be obedient to God in the right way. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. Whatsoever we receive, or whatsoever we ask rather, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We see here that when we ask of things of God and God gives it to us, and part of that is a strong development of faith, we do those things that are, we keep the commandments, we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And we just read in Romans that in the flesh we cannot please God. But when we are obedient and we have the Spirit of God and we're following those things, He said we can do those things that are pleasing in His sight. This is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. He who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us. He said, we know that God the Father and Jesus Christ abide in us by the Spirit that He's given us. It's not a question of, I don't know if I have it or not, or I don't know if I understand things or not. We should know. And it should come to the point where we know that He abides in us by that Spirit. And we can know because we have the Spirit and because we're using it. It's something that should be apparent, especially to ourselves. It's something that we should know, and without a doubt that it's there. And it should be something that has given us a conviction, as the disciples said, there is nowhere else to go. You have opened my mind to where now I know and I understand. I know and I'm convicted. The Holy Spirit begins to work in our minds, and it opens them to things that we were not aware of, things that we hadn't seen before. It's often referred to as a flame, and God's Holy Spirit begins kindling a flame within us. The early being on fire as an early convert. And in fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:9 tells us not to quench or extinguish the flame. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench that flame or extinguish that flame that has been lit within us. And when that is lit, it begins to grow, especially if it is fueled and especially if it is continued to be used. But if a human sense is not used, the physical senses that we have, if they're not used over time, they can be lost, or the ability to perceive properly through them is lost. Or if senses are abused, they can be lost. Things happen in life that can damage our physical senses. I've had knee surgery 3 times on my left knee. And the last time this was 14 years ago, they did reconstructive surgery and pulled the muscle across the front of the knee, which now I find out my orthopedic surgeon says they thought that was a good thing at the time, but it actually does the opposite of what it was supposed to do. So that's what I had done 14 years ago. But it lasted 14 years, longer than the first 2 surgeries I had done. But in moving the muscles around on my knee, and it's not so much that way now, but early on, my knee would itch, and I would reach down and scratch where I felt the itch, And I could feel myself scratching. I was on the outside of my knee, and I could feel the scratching on the inside of my knee because the nerves had been damaged and the nerves had moved. And the first time, it just surprised me because I'm scratching on one side, and I feel the itch and the scratching on the other side of the knee. It was just an odd feeling. The senses weren't correct. Sometimes we can lose our sense of touch or a sense of smell. We can damage our hearing by listening to too loud of music with earphones, or if there's a loud explosion, it busts our eardrums, and people can lose their hearing. A sense can be lost. We have to maintain it. We have to protect it. We can damage our eyes. It could be damaged by too much computer time, or it could be damaged by looking into the sun or bright light too much, burning the retina of the eye. Damaged eyes can happen over time, so we have to maintain them, we have to protect them, and we have to use them. God's Holy Spirit is also something that has to be used. It has to be exercised. It is a sense that gives us a perception, it gives us information and data, but it has to be used. It has to be exercised. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. This is understanding, talking about the understanding of God's word or understanding of scripture. And he says, "For everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." If we only take in of the smaller things or the milk of God's word, he says, you're a babe. "But solid food belongs to those who are full age and those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, both to discern both good and evil." International Standard Version says, "Everyone who lives on milk is still a baby and doesn't yet know the difference between right and wrong." It goes beyond that because it says, "Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised." It's a different kind of sense that is being exercised here, one that helps us to discern. It is a spirit of discernment. According to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the word senses here in the Greek is an organ of perception or judgment. In the Greek, the word senses is an organ of perception. The Spirit of God is a spirit of perception, or just like Dr. Pediopoulos stated, a sense or senses are physiological capacities of organisms that provide data for perception. It's something that we physically have that allows us to have perception, allows us to understand things, gives us information. And here, God says, by reason of use, having a particular sense exercised. It's not by exercising the sense of smell or the sense of sight or sound. It's talking about exercising a sense that allows us to be able to discern good and evil. It is that sense that is given to us by God's Holy Spirit. Are you using that gift of God's Holy Spirit? Are we exercising it and using it on a regular basis? Are we being changed by it, or are we just allowing it to reside? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 goes through and lists the gifts of God's Spirit. There is the gift of God's Holy Spirit, and then there's gifts that are given through that Spirit. Other areas and other things that the Spirit provides for an individual, beyond opening their mind to spiritual things and being able to understand spiritual things, he said there's gifts that are given. He says there are diversities of gifts, or a variety of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. He said it's by that same power, it's by that same tool that is given to you. There are diversities of minister, or differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation, or the revealing of the Spirit, the revealing of what that Spirit does in an individual and how an individual is changed or moved or motivated by it, is given to each one. He said it's revealed and given to each one for the profit of all. The gifts that are given to us is for the profit of the others that God has called and opened their minds and given His Spirit to. A spirit that recognizes and being able to discern the spirits, whether it be an evil spirit or the Spirit of God, to be able to discern right and wrong spirits, or as it says, those who exercise those senses can discern good and evil. But it is for the profit of all, for the help of other individuals. Too often we see individuals saying, "Oh, I've got spiritual gifts," or praying for spiritual gifts, saying, "I want to have these gifts because I am somebody special." They do it for their own recognition. And he says here, the manifestation or the revealing of that spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's for the benefit of other people. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And sometimes in a congregation, you have individuals who people look to and they say, if I have trouble or if I'm going through a trial, I want so-and-so to pray for me because their faith is so strong and their faith is so solid. We look and depend on individuals like that and we say, I want you to pray for me because I know that you have a good relationship with God. Faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. Think of Mr. Armstrong talking about the man who had a gift of healing. And when he had revealed to him the truth of God, he rejected the truth and lost the gift of healing. He wasn't exercising it for the profit of all. And he wasn't willing to accept the remainder of God's Spirit or the Spirit of understanding. He said there are gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And others, working of miracles, prophecy. To others, discerning of spirits. To others, different kinds of tongues or different languages. To another, the interpretation of languages. Not just being able to speak them, but to be able to translate them, to be able to interpret them and know what they mean. And by one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing each one individually as He wills. He said each one of these gifts is distributed as God wills. He gives it to us and it's to be used for the benefit of all. But he said it's given to you through that Spirit. Through the calling and then placing of that Spirit in you, then you're given an opportunity to have things to help you to grow and to change. Just as our calling is only by the choice of God, the distribution of the gifts. You can't say, well, I want the gift of healing, so I'm just going to focus on the gift of healing and that's what I'm going to go after. No, God gives it as He wills. But we need to search and understand what gifts God has given to us. Verse 12, it says, for the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being one are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. So we become one body, and that's why it's for the benefit of all, because it's for the benefit of that one body, the one group of people. Whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. It all comes from that same Spirit, the same gift that is given. Is God's Holy Spirit in us even more than our own natural senses? And do we value it more than our own natural senses? You have the sense of sight, and you know, which would you rather have, the sense of sight or the sense of hearing? Each of us might have our own different opinions about what senses we would prefer to have over others. After we receive the Spirit of God, hopefully all of us would be willing to say, I will become like Helen Keller before I give up the sense of God's Holy Spirit. Before I give up what God has offered to us. There's a phrase that we use, and at least I've heard it growing up, mostly in the Midwest. We use this phrase that says, he's finally come to his senses. Now, we're not talking about he finally came to be able to smell or to see, or finally he can hear. You may say that about your kids, you know, finally they can hear what I'm saying to them. But when we say he finally came to his senses, we don't mean the five basic senses. We mean he came to an understanding. Mentally, he's on track. He's where he should be. He's come to his senses. He's thinking clearly. Have we come to our senses, and do we understand and appreciate the senses that we have? The natural senses that God gives us, the spirit and man which God has given us as a sense to be able to comprehend and understand all the physical things and to be able to grow from that. But even more so, the sense of God's Holy Spirit that he has given to us to be able to understand the deep things of God. To be able to understand and open up a realm that we couldn't see before. It's like the man with the glasses, except you couldn't see anything, and then you put glasses on, and now you can see something that you didn't even know existed. God opens the mind and the human mind in that way to give us an understanding of something that we had no idea was even there before. Are we using that gift that has been given to us? The gift of wisdom, of knowledge, understanding of faith. God says it's a gift of power and of love and of self-control. He said, I'm going to give you a helper, something that can help you become what I want you to become. He's blessed us with that calling. He's given us a helper. And God's Holy Spirit, like the other senses that we have in our physical bodies, is a spiritual sense. It's like a sixth sense, or even more so. But it is a perception into the very mysteries of God. It only comes from God. And God says he will give it to whom he grants or whom he wills to give it to. But it is something that opens up a world for us that we could not see otherwise. It is something that is to be valued, appreciated, because it opens up an understanding of God, but also the ability to be able to please him and to have that deep relationship. And we're going to hear more, because this is only talking about receiving of God's Spirit and how it begins to change an individual. But when we look at the future, God uses that spirit within us to transform us into a spirit being. Something as we go forward, we're going to be hearing much more about the use of God's Holy Spirit and the receiving of it, how it affects the church. But it's something that we can appreciate and understand, because God has given us a sense, an ability to be able to perceive the mysteries of God.